Keep it coming on the text line. Text the word Speedo in to 702-365-9200. Your chance to win to qualify for the grand prize drawing of this week's Summer of Fun entry. The week trip to Liverpool. You don't want to miss it. 4 days, three nights, or take the $3,000 payout. It's up to you, but text it in. Speedo, you qualify for that amazing vacation. Chris Thomas joins us now. Super Bowl champion winning wide receiver with the St. Louis Rams. So many years in the league. And he joins us now on Raider Nation Radio. He's also a performance development mentor and life coach. Check him out on social media at Fusion Odyssey. Fusion Odyssey. And his number, you can always reach him directly at 805-663-8483. Chris, thanks for joining us. You know what? Earlier in the show, we talked about a plea that came in from NFL wide receiver A.J. Brown of how come there isn't any wide receiver summons? There's no off-season wide receiver get-together camps to improve wideouts. Why do you think that is? Because there hasn't been a wide receiver camp like pass rush summits and tight end camps. Maybe Fusion Odyssey needs to get these guys together. Have you ever thought about that?
I just thought about it right now. Like, that's all I needed to know. Yeah. A.J. Brown, reach out to me. I'll put together the best off-season program you've ever had. You'll be way better than you are today.
What would that look like, though? We were trying to figure, like, all right, what would a wide receiver camp look like? And what would be the things, like, other than, like, you know, trying to learn how to get separation? Some of the younger receivers need to learn that. What would you put in there?
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, there's no doubt there are some amazing route runners in the NFL, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There's a lot of guys that are there because they're great athletes who aren't artists at their craft. I played with those guys, you know, very, very good wide receivers. But if you were to ask me, were they, you know, artists at their craft or they're amazing route runners, I would say no. And so a lot of that stemmed from the fact that they never got that base. They never got that foundation. And when you're talking about playing at the NFL level, I mean, you're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, like literally changing your game, like to the point where you become a number one wide receiver, a first option guy, maybe a Pro Bowler. I mean, that's how significant becoming 3, 4, 5% better can be to your game. And so, you know, when you think about route running, it's not generic. And I think I talked about this before. It's not like, hey, let me just show you how to run a hitch route, an in route, an 18 yard in, a comeback route, a deep post route. There are all these different techniques that apply to different routes that involve you really understanding the nuances of your body and how your body needs to move biomechanically and then physiologically, how to get your body in the best possible position to be as explosive as you can be going in and also going out. You know, that's how you create maximum separation. So learning how to do that as an artist is really important, and I would almost venture to guess that there's not one guy in the NFL who couldn't become 1% better at doing that. There's a lot of guys who could become 10, 15, 20% better at doing that. Imagine how that would change their game. So I would say, first and foremost, like learning those things would be really important. And then understanding that there's 6 or 7 different ways to run a route, depending on what you see in front of you. And I would guess that there are a lot of guys who don't know how to adapt their route based on coverage. So that's a whole other thing that you would have to teach somebody. I mean, again, what that could mean to your game when you're learning how to run a route 6 or 7 different ways and you're learning how to recognize defensive looks so you know what to do at any given moment is powerful and transformative. So that's the other thing. And then, of course, getting off the press. That is an art all itself. You know, I know that there's a lot of different techniques out there. There are some that I firmly believe in that, you know, over the course of my career and just, you know, helping people transform their own game, I know, you know, unequivocally works, that I would want to teach guys because it's all about winning with your body. You don't want to have to win with your hands. No one wants to get into a slap fight. And so teaching guys how to win with their body more would be critical. And then finally, really teaching guys how to catch dynamically on a different level. There's tons of guys who have amazing hands. Every guy could get better at catching. So being able to create a workshop or an environment where guys can work on every single element of their game. And then the big one would be the emotional one. Like, how do you learn to play in your own space? How do you learn to play against you? How do you learn to keep every moment of every game, regardless of, you know, what you've been told you should feel about this moment, be it Super Bowl, be it preseason, how to keep every single moment the same? That's an art as well. And learning how to do that and manage your emotions is the next, you know, huge component to tying that all together and then becoming a guy you've never been. So, yeah, I would love to know that there are some guys out there that want to take advantage of that, I could create an amazing workshop.
That's a fascinating, Chris. Thank you for that. That was amazing.
Yeah, I want to take you to a wide receiver because when you were talking about sort of the natural athletic abilities, but that don't necessarily translate into being an artist at your job and being a great wide receiver. Tavon Austin, the Rams drafted him top 10 pick coming out of West Virginia. If you looked at his highlight film from West Virginia, it was like a pinball machine. It was like a video game. He was just electric in college. It never translated to the NFL. And talking to Rams people, in retrospect, it was, Tavon was a guy that from high school to college, he just got by basically on, his blazing speed and athletic ability, but he never did really refine the fine art of being a wide receiver. And if you look at the numbers of his career, he never surpassed 58 catches. There was one year where he had 106 targets and only had 58 catches out of that. That's a bad ratio right there. And the very next year, Sean McVay comes in and it was 22 targets. He immediately moved on from Tavon Austin with the Rams that year. And I guess that's what you're talking about, but how do you, for somebody like Tavon who stuck around in the league, for 10 years or so, probably because of the athletic ability, but it just never translated. How do you get somebody like that to, at this level, be able to master the finer points of the game so that he's not just sticking around, he's playing well?
Yeah, well, the truth of the matter is that they give you the best foundation to build upon. Right? Like, so they already have the biggest criteria that you could ask for, which is being athletic enough that there's nothing I can teach you that your body can't do. Right? So that's the base. And every one of those guys has that base. So when you have that base, then it's a matter of like the possibilities becoming endless, right? Because depending on how much you implement the things you're going to learn about all these little nuances, you could become one of the top receivers in the NFL. I mean, I don't say that lightly. It's transformative. And it just, VB, you just kind of said it. Listen, I played in the NFL. I loved every receiver coach that I had. But I will tell you that, we have this delusion that you go into the NFL and then whatever coaches you have, they're going to teach you everything you need to know, right? Well, if that was the case, you wouldn't be talking about Tavon Austin the way you just talked about him. You know what I mean? Like someone would have taught him how to run routes and how to catch better or whatever else was affecting his game. They would have taught him that, right? But, a lot of times that's not happening. I would tell you that more often than not, that's not what took place on the teams that I was on, right? So most of the things that I did was because I innately understood it. Like that's just was one of my gifts. I understood the chess match of the game, how to get my body moving dynamically. I had the assets to allow me to be ultra quick and ultra explosive. So I kind of had that base, but I also understood the chess match, the IQ component, manipulation, all this stuff. And so I did what I did well because I understood that information. But yeah, it goes to show you like that kind of stuff. Again, I was watching Hard Knocks, Houston Texans. I might have mentioned this before, but there was a guy who was on that team, who was on the practice squad, very fast, amazing athlete, put together, and he'd been on the practice squad a year. The next year, he's attempting to make the team, but then he gets cut. And, what O'Brien tells him is, you just have not, advanced the way we thought you could. Your route running just hasn't really evolved. And to me, a guy like me, I'm like, but you shouldn't be saying that. You know what I mean? That's why you have a receiver coach there. Like, how can you not take that foundation and that base and teach that guy how to run a route in 18 months? Like, to the point where he could use that athletic ability to be an asset to your team. Like, I could do that. I could have done that for him in 2 months. You know what I mean? And turn him into a guy he'd never been. So, this is kind of what you're up against. The thing that you're saying and the thing that I'm saying, it's just real. And every guy has the ability to become a better version of themselves. That's what I was always looking for, was that 1%, because I understood the effect that it could have when I got back to competing against the best guys on the planet at their craft. 1% is huge. So, and if someone's giving you a chance to actually play to where now the game is something you're really comfortable in doing all the time, then that 1% is going to really show up because you're going to just have that much more confidence and trust in your ability to beat anybody in front of you, because it's not about them, it's about you. So, yeah, it's all really fascinating stuff. But, yeah, I mean, having a receiver workshop would be unreal for these guys in the NFL. The things that, you know, a guy like me could help them evolve in would be insane. And every single one of them, all they need to do is have humility about their game and where they are, regardless of the success they're having. If they have that, then they're becoming better. It's inevitable.
This is the voice of Chris Thomas, former Super Bowl champion wide receiver with the Rams. He's with Fusion Odyssey, his performance development mentor corporation. He's a life coach. If you have a student, athlete, a son or daughter, and you're trying to unlock the mental game, we highly suggest you go and find Fusion Odyssey on social media. DM Chris to get the link to Unlocking the Mental Game, his video series. You could also call the office at 805-663-8483. One of the videos in there reminded me of something that you talked about, having a workshop where you talked about, all right, where you would teach wide receivers the game inside you, playing against you. And it reminded me of how your experience is about you. If you cannot control it, you will not empower it. Explain what that means, because I think a lot of us, even in our own lives, we will hold on to things that, you know, keep us from going even further. But because of the things we can't control, it stays in our mind too long, and we end up empowering it, giving way too much power.
Yeah, well, and a lot of that happens because the things that we fear, when they actually happen, we don't let them go or move beyond them oftentimes because somebody or something is reminding us that we should feel bad about what just happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that happens with young people all the time. You know what I mean? Like, they drop a ball and someone's saying, come on, you got to catch that. And like, now you're going, oh, crap. Well, I felt crappy about dropping it, but now I feel worse. And now he's telling me, like, I have to do this, so I can't screw up again. And so, you know, they're changing the way they're approaching the next moment, because really they're not even playing against themselves. They're playing against the consequence of either you chastising them, scrutinizing them, saying something negative to them, or the you know, fear that they're going to lose something that they really want if they continue doing this. And so they don't know how to compete against themselves. They're competing against their circumstances, you know, and like trying not to lose something. And you can never win if you're trying not to lose. Like, that's not the objective, right? If you're attempting to win, then you need to win by being aggressive and attacking the things that you want fearlessly, right? And most young people don't know how to do that.
Okay.
Because there's something around them. I'm sorry. There's something around them that's affecting their ability to just let it go.
Most older people do.
Yeah.
We all have that problem where we're playing against the consequences of what happened.
Yeah. I mean, our life is spent like trying not to screw something up or trying not to lose something. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's a tough way to find victory when, again, you're attempting to try not to lose. It doesn't work that way. You find victory by pursuing it relentlessly, fearlessly, fervently. That's how you find victory, in accepting that in victory there is no such thing as perfection, right? And that, again, is like the thing that is tough for people to let go. But just imagine what's being reinforced in our lives. You know, you have a bad moment, and if someone's reminding you of that bad moment and telling you that you just did something poorly in a way that is not constructive, then the interpretation is going to be, well, shoot, I'm not being enough right now. Like, I can't do this. Like, I need to be enough. And you're not trying to be enough for you. You're trying to be enough so that you don't suffer a consequence, right? And so one of the things we have to do is just accept our imperfections and accept consequences for what they are, so we can let them go and focus our energy on the things we really want, right? And that's when you've arrived. Like, that's when it becomes about you, right? The second you accept, this guy may say something if I drop a ball, it's inconsequential because there's nothing he can tell me that I haven't already told myself, right? And I actually know more than him because I am playing a game against myself. And because I'm playing that game, the game is way more finite for me. Not just throwing my hands up, like hoping I catch a ball. Like, I actually have a process. I actually have like a game plan, a system, right? And so like, if that system breaks down, I'm so hyper connected to it that I'm very aware what just happened and why and how I need to fix it. Like, that's when I'm in my own space, and that's when your whole game can change. But you have to teach people today how to not like be their worst enemy. Like, I just dealt with this with a young boy yesterday in baseball. Great kid, you know, but I could see he was defeated playing this really challenging game that he always feels like he can't win, but we make it more challenging so that the real game becomes easy. And you could see his defeat, and his dad was getting frustrated with him. And I just told him, like, you know, hey, listen, if you're going to be that easily defeated, then the things that you worry about and the things that you fear, you're going to create a truth out of them. Like, it's going to happen.
Wow.
And the worst part about that is when it happens, you're going to be like, see, I knew that was going to happen. And the truth of the matter is it didn't have to happen. Like, you led yourself over the edge, you know? And, like, you're in an age where you got to start figuring that out because you have the information. You know better. And right now, you're just defeating yourself, and you're creating truths out of lies. Like, the lie is that you can't get done what you want to get done. You just did it. You just did it 5 minutes ago, and now because I struck you out one time, like, you're telling yourself that you can't do it. Your body language changed. You're defeating yourself before I even defeat you, you know? And so because of that, it's becoming truth. And so once we had this talk, he completely changed it around, started hitting balls. And then I started pitching real balls, and he was barreling just ball after ball after ball after ball after ball after ball. So the lesson was, this is what I mean. Like, you got to stop trying to find defeat. You got to stop defeating yourself. Dude, that's the worst part about defeat, is when you're the one defeating yourself.
Talking to Chris,
you know what I mean? You got to get
incredible.
Over.
Oh, sure. What a truth there.
Talking to Chris Thomas, former NFL Super Bowl champion with the Rams, and a life coach, doing great work in the community and with the pupils that he mentors and teaches and trains. And Chris, how pleasing is it to you that you see so many more men, so many more professional athletes, so many more athletes, whether it's athletes and their families that seek you out or seek help out, you know, on the mental side of things, but just this acceptance that we don't always all have the answers, and we don't have to tough it out like we're John Wayne, and we think that, you know, being a man means, you know, not ever crying or talking about it or expressing your feelings. How pleasing is it to you to see this openness now in dealing with the very issues that you're talking about?
You know what's interesting, VB, is like, I don't know that I ever felt that was the definition of manhood,
right,
to be honest with you. So, I don't, to me, it's like, this is the way it should have always been.
True. Exactly. Without a doubt.
You know, so like, for me, I'm like, it shouldn't even be a big deal, because manhood isn't defined by how many push-ups you can do, you know, how you never gave your kid a hug because you wanted to make him a tough kid. You never told him you loved him because you didn't want him to be soft. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, like that was, I don't know where that ever became like the definition of being a tough guy, you know, because that doesn't make you tough. It makes you ignorant. Like, we're human beings with emotions. That's a fact. That's never changing, no matter how much you want to change them. Now, can some contain those emotions better than others? Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, what makes us human is the fact that we are emotional. We can have different connections with people because of that, you know? And so I think it's great that people are understanding that more, because you need it. Like, you can't keep everything inside, you know? All it does is it's going to build this volcano that's going to erupt at some point. And the effect of that is going to be disastrous to you, your life, the people around you. So, yeah, it's completely unhealthy to think you can't be emotional, and that it's like somehow you're weak because you're seeking help. Like, I wish that I would have had some help when I was going through what I went through in the NFL. Fortunately, I was built in a way where I fought my way into the laboratory and figured it out myself. But I don't think there's anything wrong with finding help. I think it's a sign of strength. You know, I think it's the weakness is when you convince yourself that somehow you're bigger and better than like someone who can give you a pathway to a better version of you. Like, there's just be humble about it, right? Like, if this is about finding the best version of you, having the best life experience, then like, by any means, why would you not want to do that, right? So I think it's amazing. I've never subscribed to like somehow toughness being that you can't show emotion or whatever else. I think it's just the opposite. I think I'm a pretty tough guy, and you know, I tell my kids I love them as much as I possibly can. And even the kids that I work with, they feel the same love. I know they need that, you know, whether they verbalize it or not, it means so much to them to feel that and to feel like it's okay to be vulnerable, right? That's the things you want to teach those are the things you want to teach your kids. Is that it's okay to be vulnerable. It truly is. Like, that's the way you progress in life. That's the way you evolve. That's the way you find the next dimension. That's the way you explore possibilities. You got to be okay with being vulnerable, you know? And so that's not just in one capacity of life. That's in every capacity of life. So, no, I think, VB, it shouldn't be a big issue. But, yeah, I agree. It's kind of like, wow, people are being more open about it. But it should have never been the case. I don't know whoever defined that toughness was, you know, not showing emotion and trying to, you know, act like you're bigger than everything else, I've never thought that was the definition.
This is Chris Thomas with Fusion Odyssey. Reach him in the office at 805-663-8483. DM him on Fusion Odyssey on social media, all the platforms. Chris Thomas bringing fantastic stuff to each other each and every Friday, and we love how you connect. And I tell you what, it shows these kind of teachings in your son, Ryland, who is continuing to play so well in AAA for the Mets. And we were just kind of talking about how close, you know, the Mets are in this wild card race in the National League, how exciting that is. But he himself is having a fantastic year. And with all the stuff that goes on in minor leagues, he never seems to get down. He continues to perform at a high level.
Well, it's interesting. I have two quick little stories, one involving that. I mean, it just shows you the ups and downs, you know, that you have to be ready to contend with. And this is why getting, you know, the pathway and getting a bridge to unlocking the mental game is so huge, not just in life, but definitely in sports. You know, he's started out 1-for-5 in his first game and then 1-for-5 in his second game. So he's 2-for-10, and that's not necessarily the best first impression. And it can get to somebody really quickly when you just got promoted to AAA.
Sure.
But then he finds a little rhythm, and he's feeling really good about where he is, and he's, like, you know, on his way up to batting 300 and figuring it out. And then, you know, some changes were recommended in the swing, and he kind of didn't, you know, he lost the swing, basically, and was in no man's land and didn't feel great. And we kind of talked through it. I helped him through it, and next you know, he's not a home run hitting kid, but in those last six games, he's at 4 home runs and 3 doubles, and he's just going off and made an incredible catch, you know, last night. But he's so level-headed about it all. He doesn't get too high. He doesn't get too low. He celebrates, you know, his moments of brilliance, as everybody should, because we all have brilliant moments, and to ignore them is just ignorant, because that's how you create momentum, and that's how you create more trust. So to ignore the moments because of the fact that you're worried about what you're not going to get or worried about not being bad, and you're just breathing a sigh of relief that you weren't bad, like, thank God I was good. See, this is the thing. Like, this mm-hmm. is – that's how you know people don't know how to compete with themselves, right? Like, they can't even celebrate the things they do well because – they're so worried about, like, not getting what they want or, like, not being bad that when they are good, they don't even acknowledge it. So they can't even extract, you know, momentum from it. But my son is really good at being able to do that. And because of that, you know, he reaps the benefits and he stays balanced and he finds his way through, you know, all the weeds and thorn bushes and everything else because he doesn't, you know, wonder if he can keep going forward. So I'm really proud of him in that regard. But really quickly, because it's on the same, you know, topic, you know, I had a baseball kid, and this goes back to, like, this is why you live in your own space. I had a baseball kid I started working with at age 12, and he was, like, the 8th, 7th batter in the lineup kid, you know, who's barely making a travel team. They don't think very highly of him and wasn't naturally that talented at the time. Fast forward now, he's 17. He's a junior in high school, or he's about to turn 17. He's a junior in high school. He has put in so much time to transform his game for his high school. He's now the 4th batter in the lineup, just an all-county kid.
Wow.
As the season ended. He plays for a showcase team that's very respected. And just this past week went to what we call the Junior Olympic Tournament in Arizona. Went there, and as he has been for the last, you know, 14 months, played really well there, got his first D1 offer, and then got an offer to a school just on Wednesday that is kind of like his dream school. And you know, this is why you have to live in your own space. This is why you can't listen to people telling you that you're not enough and then believing it. This is why you have to create your own belief system. This is why you have to invest in yourself. This is why you have to be mentally strong. And if you won't, then all those things are going to impair you. And you're going to start creating a different belief system in who you are and what you can do. And, you know, fortunately, we've been together a long time, and so he's never bought into that. And because of that, he's turning into, like, the first batter up on his travel team or showcase team and then the 4th batter up on his high school team. You know, contrary to that, as a high school coach with a kid I'm working with, who's a lineman who wants to be a tight end, he is not naturally gifted. He is starting from the absolute bones, but his progress already has been immense. But his coach has basically only seen him as a lineman. I can tell right now he's never going to see him as anything other than that. But I've had kids just like him, right? Not that athletically gifted, you know, not fleet-footed. They don't have quickness, don't have speed. Who started investing in themselves for 2 years, and 2 years later, they're getting, you know, D1 offers and D2 offers. Like, for someone to tell somebody, hey, don't invest in changing yourself, you're never going to be that guy, like, this is what you're contending with. And what you have to do is is, you know, eliminate the noise and be like, I'm not going to listen to that. Like, I'm just going to invest in myself. I'm going to take this journey, and I'm going to see where this takes me. And that's where we are right now. A year from now, this kid is going to be someone that that coach regrets saying that to, because he's going to have to swallow it and eat it when this kid is, like, one of the better tight ends in the county. And this is, again, what our young people are up against. So this is why you got to find somebody who can give you a pathway to unlocking the best version of you, because there's too many distractions around you.
Get that for yourself, your student athlete, your son or daughter, with Chris Thomas. Fusion Odyssey at 805-663-8483. Thank you, Chris, for your time. Let's do it again next week.
You got it, brother.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Chris Thomas with us. Awesome stuff. Fantastic truce there. And we got to take a quick break on the other side. 702-365-9200. We'll also have Street Legal with Sam and Ash at 945 here on Raider Nation Radio.
Oh, boy. It's the weekend, huh? I always start looking at the old wallet feels lighter and lighter as the weekend goes on, even though we're not paying with cash anymore. It's all on credit cards or debit cards. But it just always reminds you that money is of the essence, cash is of the essence, and sometimes we just need some extra cash, like right now. And maybe you're in that situation. Maybe you need $500 or $5,000 right now, and maybe you're sweating it a little bit because your credit cards are maxed out, or maybe your credit score isn't where it needs to be. Don't worry. Don't lose any sleep. For over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now, so why wait? Head over to LendingStore.com. Let them help you find a lender that could get you $500 to $5,000, the cash that you need, as early as tomorrow. Just go over to LendingStore.com for all the details.
More Silver and Black Talk on the Morning Tailgate with Clay Baker and Vinny Bonsignor.
Thanks for all the great texts and thoughts here today on Raider Nation Radio here on R&R 920. We'll talk to Ash Watkins, Ash the attorney, up on Twitter for Street Legal. And a strange story that came out of California about Uber losing its appeal for its employees to be labeled as independent contractors. Well, now they're being labeled as employees. That's insane. We'll talk about more of that with Ash in a few minutes here on Raider Nation Radio. From the text line, 702-365-9200. You know, this question's been coming in, especially on the, as we talked earlier in this hour and the second about Costa Mesa. People are wondering, like, why are the Dallas Cowboys allowed to intrude on Oxnard in Southern California? Explain the history there, because it's been a long one with the Cowboys in California.
Yeah, the Cowboys for years, aside from maybe a couple years here and there, have always called Southern California home. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, they trained at Cal Lutheran University, which is where the Rams headquarters have been since 2016 till basically now. They're moving down the road to Woodland Hills at their new facility there in Woodland Hills. But long story short, the Cowboys were established in Southern California for their training camp home for decades. And so their presence in Southern California predated the Rams moving back to Los Angeles and the Chargers moving from San Diego to Los Angeles. So essentially their rights were grandfathered in.
Yeah.
Don't ever forget who played a key role in all of this happening, which mainly concerned the Rams being approved to move from St. Louis to Inglewood, California, which was the plan that they had, with Stan Kroenke's stadium, SoFi Stadium. They got major support from Jerry Jones. So I'm sure in their, in their talks over the years, Jerry said, I'm going to support this, but just always understand that we're going to stay in Southern California for our training camp. And,
okay,
you know, we're going to be able to supersede the rules that are in place. And just a little bit of a history lesson, all this stuff with the marketing rights and, the exclusive marketing right regions. Those always, they haven't always been in place. There was some semblance of it over the course of the years, but, they've really put paid attention to it or put a tight lid on it. You can't just go someplace and practice if you're in some other team's region and be able to do and market yourself however you want. By the way, I'm reading a story out of the Kansas City Star that the state of Kansas and their governor, Governor Laura Kelly, just signed into law an expansive plan to draw the Kansas City Chiefs and Royals into the state by issuing billions in bonds to finance new stadiums for both teams. This always is a little bit tricky for people who don't necessarily know. They see the name Kansas City and think that Kansas City is in Kansas, the state of Kansas. It's not. It's in Missouri. But right, it's right there at the state line. So possibility that the Chiefs and Royals, who are seeking new stadiums and didn't get the help that they thought they were going to get from the state of Missouri and the city of Kansas City, could be moving down the road to the state of Kansas pretty soon. You know, at some point, we'll see where it all goes. It's just one step of a whole bunch of hurdles, but it looks like Kansas is looking at an opportunity to perhaps get into the professional sports team.
Wow, man!
World. Yeah, it's kind of so like great. New Jersey pulling the Giants and Jets over to New Jersey. It'll always be the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm sure they're never going to change that.
But it's one hell of a bargaining chip, isn't it, to have that if you're the owners of both teams and you're trying to figure out, like, how do we get what we want?
Yeah.
You need to find a market that can go and push, you know, Kansas City a little bit further.
No doubt, but this could also be very viable, a very viable alternative. I mean, they definitely need a new stadium, or either a refurbished stadium, mm-hmm. or in the Royals' case, a new stadium. So this could be their salvation as well.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Street Legal with Sam and Ash Injury Law. They're next.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Oh, on Wednesdays at 9:45, we speak to the attorney at law, Ash Watkins, from Sam and Ash Injury Law. We moved it up to Friday because we can't miss a weekly edition of Street Legal with Sam and Ash. Oh, you got to believe it. SamandAshLaw.com, as well as their new phone number, 702-303-0333. Ash is here with us, and Ash, I was a little upset about a story that happened, and it came out of California, where I couldn't believe it. Uber lost its California appeal to label their drivers as employees instead of independent contractors. I don't like this, because now California law is interfering with a corporate business model that makes all the sense in the world, and that's why Uber and other driving drivers are so independent now. Why aren't they now being labeled as contractors? I think employees, this is just bad regulation, and this is just a bad law that has to find some way to be overturned.
Yeah, so this is a tricky subject, and it kind of is a political distinction.
Really? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
how so?
This
how
is
so?
Like whether or not you're really pro-labor, pro-employer protection, employee protections, et cetera, or if you're more let businesses run and classify employees the way they determine. And this is typical of California. They're very proactive, and what they're doing is trying to... they came out and passed legislation, AB5, in 2019, that basically said all app-based workers are to be determined as employees. And this lawsuit was to challenge it, and unfortunately, they lost. Uber lost. And so that AB5 is valid. But the interesting thing here is there's also a proposition on the books, which is, I think it's 22, and that says they're independent contractors in California. So right now, there's a legal battle over which is going to prevail. And so it's going to be interesting, and ultimately, it's going to get more expensive. If Uber and Lyft and all of these app-based workers have to be deemed employees, it becomes more expensive. And what does that mean? It costs us more. It's more expensive for the employer, and so they will pass that on to us, the consumer. So that $10 Uber ride will probably go to $15.
Or even higher, because at this point now you have to pay minimum wage, you have to pay expenses and other little things that would normally an independent contractor could do for themselves. Because here's the thing, for rideshare, there's constantly, you know, upkeep with your tires, oil changes, insurance changes for you as well. And I'm wondering how this would play out, because this is just going to add to more costs. And what happens to, you know, this is Uber, this also goes for Lyft and other rideshare apps.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's kind of the critical distinction is businesses want, and Uber and Lyft and all of these app-based companies, they want the ability to classify their employees as independent contractors or employees as they see fit. And that's how much control, how much, who supplies the equipment, who does this. So if you're classifying all of these Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, et cetera, as employees, arguably is Lyft and Uber, are they providing the cars? Are they maintaining the cars? Are they telling you when you should be working? Are they providing the insurance? Like, those are all of the questions that come in. But instead, California, the government came in and said, nope, these work, these app-based workers are to be deemed employees regardless.
Oh, I have a problem with this. And we're speaking with Ash from SalmonAshLaw.com. If you're injured in a crash, call Salmon Ash, 702-303-0333. What do you think the drivers want? I mean, were any drivers on the other side of this argument hoping they could be employees too?
Yeah, no, the drivers, they want to be employees because being an employee gives you various benefits. It gives you rights to unemployment insurance. It gives you rights to minimum wage and overtime. It gives you rights to unpaid and job-protected family leave. There's various rights that are given to employees that are not otherwise given to independent contractors. So, of course, the drivers generally want it.
Wow, this is insane. Salmon Ash Law here with us, 702-303-3333, salmonashlaw.com. Another story, this was just heartbreaking, but the Real Water Bottling Company, finally an award was settled, a $3 billion lawsuit coming down in punitive damages to eight plaintiffs who sued the Real Water Bottle Company. This was a bottle company of water that, you know, it was tied to jet fuel being found in the water. And next thing you know, children are needing liver transplants. Some of them died. One of them died, at least. And it's like, these are standards that are really, really strong. And punitive damage are one thing. But this was the highest total that a Nevada jury has ever awarded. Were you surprised by that?
No, I mean, it sounds like, okay, so it's important to know what punitive damages are deciding to do. And that's to punish the defendant here, the Real Water Company, but also to send a message to all the other water manufacturers, bottlers, etc., that you've got to be on top of your game or else this will happen. And so punitive damage awards are a very different animal, so to speak. They're strictly designed to evaluate the defendant's conduct, their recklessness, whether it's almost so reckless that it's deemed intent to harm the consumer. And as a result, we're going to punish you. We're going to force you to deter and be better moving forward. And we're going to send a message to the general community of these types of actions will not be tolerated. And I mean, Real Water is no longer in business and this will never get paid. And also it's likely to get reduced because these awards are originally rendered by juries for what they think will actually punish the defendant. But then there's kind of limitations on how that plays out.
Some of the shock of this is that how is this not mandatory that all new bottled water products are tested before going on the market?
Well, so they do. This is the interesting thing. These bottled water companies, they do subject themselves to FDA testing, random testing, inspections, et cetera. But they're supposed to be doing weekly testing. And here, that's one of the things that I think played into this giant award is the person that Real Water put behind and in charge of their testing had little to no experience on what to do. And so they test it, the water, and are supposed to keep records, and the FDA is supposed to go in and look and kind of check in on things. But come on, I mean, the fact that you're putting someone in such an important role that has no experience, that's problematic.
This is so insane. It's Ash, the attorney, on X, at Salmon Ash Law on X, Salmon Ash Injury Law. It's fascinating, available both in Nevada and in California, because I wondered how closely tied this was to the Aaron Brockovich story.
Oh, I think the Aaron Brockovich story, it's fascinating in its own right. I mean, that had to deal with like dumping chemicals and what kind. It all comes down to like what general knowledge do you have and how reckless are you and what harm do you know your conduct could potentially cause. So yeah, I mean, look, when you're in business and you're dealing with the public, you have to act accordingly. You have to do the right thing. And sometimes it's more expensive. And that's what happens. It's more expensive and it's more tedious to do things the right way. And a lot of companies, that's where they fall short. I mean, Sam and I deal with this all the time in our law firm. It's more expensive to do what we do, the way we do it. And our process is so meticulous and it's tedious and hard work. And I think a lot of other lawyers around town just don't want to do it because of that cost and time, resources effort, and it's important though.
This is why Ash and Sam, they come on here to this show, because when you call them, they listen. And this is what results into really having really smart community-based values and morals and principles that you're not always going to find. SamandAshLaw.com, 702-303-0333 is the number, available both in Nevada and California. If you're injured in a crash, you call Sam and Ash. Ash, we're out of time. Thank you so much for it. Let's do it again next week.
All right. Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. For Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great weekend, everybody. You can find our work up online at lvsportsnetwork.com, podcasts up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Don't forget, send the keyword of the day, Speedo, to 702-365-9200. That's our text line. Your name goes into the drawing to win that Liverpool, England vacation, or you just take the $3,000 cash. But you can't win unless you qualify, and you can only do that today by qualifying for one last time. Send the word Speedo to 702-365-9200.